Friday night. I'm so excited. It is Wine and Wine Down with Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Elliot Serrano's riding sidecar tonight. And what has become quickly our favorite segment of the week is it's Binge and Uncork with Susan Dannenberger, Dannenberger Family Vineyards, the award-winning winemaker from right here in Illinois. I heard you on with Anna today, and it sounds like you're having a great time.
It was fun, but I was waiting for tonight.
I saw your post earlier in the week because I'm giving you assignments, and I feel like this week you should pick your own because you
what?
You should
no,
tell.
No, you're giving me great ones.
But you've already seen some series. Like I've never seen the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I've seen a couple episodes. But I'm wondering, I mean, like, there are ones that you've already seen that maybe, okay, we can give you more suggestions. I don't mind.
I'm open. We had this woman call. Her name's Marianne from Hinsdale, and she called our winery this week, and she called to say she loves this segment. Like, she sits up at night to listen to this segment, and I thought that was so funny.
This is the best thing ever, and this was Elliot's brainchild. This is yours, Elliot.
Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. I'm sorry.
Good job.
And like I said, you're welcome.
Yes, you did say that.
But Ozark is a really dark show. I was a little bit nervous because I love dark stuff. I also like find humor in how dark that series is.
I was afraid the first episode, I will admit. But then I got sucked in and I couldn't stop.
It's so good.
I will say my favorite thing is watching your Facebook posts about it. You know, and go, oh, she likes it, yeah!
And that picture is beautiful with the wine glass and then with Ozarks like sort of through the glass on your TV screen. Yeah, it's incredible.
You need to now start doing like special labels, you know, for pairs well. This wine pairs well
it
with...
It does.
Ozark.
Right.
Yeah, pairs well.
Or similarly dark-themed shows. Yes.
Stranger Things. You know,
I did a conference, and one of the guys came from out from California, and he literally talked about how different music pairs with the wines, and he let us taste different wines. And some music, the wines would taste wonderful, and the same wine would taste terrible with a different music. And it was so interesting, and I found that to be true with
the series,
because I was tasting several different ones to see how they would go with each one. And I was like, no. Doesn't work.
That's amazing. And it makes sense though because it's a mood setter.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's all about your brain.
It's back and forth. Exactly. It's the smell, it's the taste, it's the what are you laughing at?
I have the next recommendation.
You do?
Susan wants to jump
in. Well, we have to get through Ozark first. And show regular John Tatey did not like the series. And I don't know that he's seen more than one. He assigned me American Vandal. And I don't know if that's one that you want to see. We'll have to see what listeners say. But you already have the assignment, so we'll wait for American Vandal.
I don't know. I haven't heard of that one. I hadn't heard of Ozark, and I was deeply entrenched after the second one. So.
And Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, too. They're remarkable together. All the actors on the series are incredible to watch. You can't take your eyes off of them.
I couldn't stop.
Especially the guy who owns the property that they move in with.
Oh, yeah, the old guy was awesome.
They're like, oh, he's naked. Okay, that's happening. Yeah, there's so many things, so many layers to the series. I mean, in a weird, bizarre, twisted way, I mean, ultimately it comes down, what are you willing to do for your family?
Yeah.
You know, what are you willing to do for love, even though they do so much that is hurtful to each other, like we do at different times in our lives to our relatives.
It was interesting to see, the Chicago area and then the Midwest area from a TV perspective as well.
I agree. So when we come back, we're going to find out which wine and go through the different experiments.
A couple.
Yeah, what you tried first and which wine paired with Ozark for our segment Binge and Uncork with the Dannenberger Family Vineyards. It's time to Wine and Wine Down. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. It's Friday night. It's time to wine and wine down. So much going on in the world, and we just want to hunker down and take a little bit of a break from everything in the world and maybe sink into a wonderful series on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or whatever, wherever you go for your streaming enjoyment, and maybe have a glass of wine, which is why Elliot came up with the brilliant idea to partner with the Dannenberger Family Vineyards for a segment called Binge and Uncork. And so far we've done Orange is the New Black.
Yep.
And we did Stranger Things, Master of None. And this week your assignment from me and from listeners, actually, they had texted in their suggestions. It was Ozark. And where did you start first? What did you try with this very dark series? It's a little bit of a crime series. It's also centered in Missouri. It's got a very blue tone to it. you know?
At first, I started with my muse. It's a Merlot and Cabernet Franc, and it's super fruit forward and really jammy, and I thought that would be it.
Right.
And it was interesting.
Right, because I would think like a dark wine
yeah.
would make sense, okay?
And I liked it, but then I switched out of the tank the new one that we're just bottling now, which is the 2015 Cabernet Franc. And I ended up going with that one because I could sip it slower.
Okay.
And you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're just like, oh my God, what's going to happen next? And then you're just like taking a small drink and then you're like holding it on your tongue and watching it. Oh my God. And then you're.
Right. So with that next like jolt, you're like, okay, I need a drink, a little sip after that. That's
yeah.
So it almost helped you pace a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, it did. It slowed me down just a little bit because the other one was going just a little too fast.
Uh oh.
So it was the Cabernet Franc? Was
yeah,
the one?
It was the Cabernet Franc. The first one, the Merlot Cabernet Franc, was a little too quick. I tried a white one night. And,
that's what I thought I saw you talking about. Yeah.
And it didn't work.
Too bright?
Or it was just, yeah, it was too lively. It was too nice. It was too pleasant. It was like, no, I can't. What?
Nobody on the show is nice and pleasant.
I
we
just
can't
figured because they were on the lake sometimes. I'm like, oh, it's summer. You know, they're hanging on the lake on their boats. No, it didn't work. It was just, it was too. Like every second you're wondering what's going to happen. It was super complex. So it needed to be complex in the wine.
Okay. So that's the Cabernet Franc. And we want to thank Roger Badish for saving us tonight.
Thank you.
For bringing down the. Yes. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah, because he was there with the night. Oh, here you go. You can have these.
I don't know. The muse was interesting, though, but it just was too. It was
oh,
it was too
you.
Fun cool. for the go. Show.
It was. But, oh, you can hear the glass. And then some for. You want to give that one to Susan? Here we go. We've got the wine coming around the horn.
Yeah, really?
There we go. One for Elliot.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. What do you mean, oh, boy?
Oh, boy.
You ready, Elliot?
I'm ready.
That one's yours. Is this the. Oh, this is the. Is this the one?
This is the Cabernet Franc. It's a tough choice, though.
Yeah.
You know, the muse was really nice, but the show is too intense for it.
Okay, I'm going to find out right here. I know, right? Cheers. What you need to...
You
want to see my glass?
No, the bottle. What?
The bottle, of course. Yeah, I love the photo on this, too. This has a little bit of mystery on it as well.
Oh, whoa. Yeah,
hello. Now, is it the bottle you would buy? It is, isn't it, Elliot? If you saw that in the stores?
Oh, uh-huh.
It may be the back of a nude woman. Yes.
It may be?
Is it someone you know? And if so, is she single?
Wow, that is a pairing. That'd be an interesting way to do that. Instead of Tinder, you've got your models on a wine bottle.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, wait a minute. I think we just hit on something.
That is amazing. This is a wonderful wine. Oh, that's a really wonderful. Well done. And this is a newer batch, you said? This is one that you
we're getting ready to release it next weekend.
And by the way, for those who are wondering, first of all, go to dannenbergerfamilyvineyards.com. And there's a lot coming up because people really need to have not only their pairings for their Netflix or Amazon series, but their pairings for in-laws and aunts and uncles and all the people they have to deal with over the holidays. Do you?
You're not talking about anybody specific.
No, not at all. I remember when I was younger, I remember being at a table with my sister-in-law and kind of almost like to the bottom of a glass of vodka and soda. I'm like, man, she looks so much better from the bottom of this glass. You know? I was like, this is just fine. Do you have a big party like ready to go for Thanksgiving? How do you prepare for the holiday?
I used to have a lot of friends over. Nobody had any place to go, so they'd come out and hang at our place. But now that we have the winery open, it's almost like it never ends, but it's kind of fun. You start on the Blackout Wednesday, and then you go to Thanksgiving, and then, of course, there's Black Friday and Small Business Saturday. It's kind of like just a party.
It's
all
like a whirlwind.
For 5 days.
Yeah.
And
do you,
time.
A lot of people think, oh, I have to drink white wine with turkey. But since I'm, you know, a lot of people are also red wine drinkers. What do you recommend from your collection?
I think the rouge goes really well with cranberry and turkey. Oh. You want a lighter red and something that has a little bit of acidity, not too much oak. You don't want too much oak for your holiday turkey. Some nice whites that have some big fragrance to them, you know, and also a little bit of acidity or a rosé. You don't want a really big red for a turkey. But if you're doing like prime rib, then of course you'd want to go big red.
And that, some people have to be excited when they show up. And I mean, some people will be disappointed that it's not a traditional turkey. But some people are like, prime rib. That's one way to, I remember one time I was at somebody's house and they had fish and I was like, no, I'll look at the time. I gotta
fish,
go.
That's a little strange.
That is a little bit strange. I know people want to try everything. So that sounds like a great way to sort of plan ahead, you know, because it's funny how quickly Thanksgiving has come this year, isn't it?
I can't even believe it. And all seeing all the beautiful decorations right now in Chicago. It's so pretty.
And right here in the studio, we're all decked out. Thank you, Tree Time. I appreciate that. We always have Santa coming out of the fireplace. I know, legs only, Elliot. He's stuck. Yep.
It's a little disconcerting sometimes. It's like, you know, there you turn around, you see just a pair of feet. You're like, what? And that's about it. But, you know, it reminds me of Gremlins. You remember the movie Gremlins?
Yes.
And there's the story about Santa getting stuck in the chimney, and it's not a happy ending. So, you know, poor.
I know. There's so many unhappy endings. So many ways. We are hanging out with Susan Dannenberger from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, which is at 12341 Irish Road in New Berlin. And she's open year-round, except for February. I didn't realize you weren't open in February. What happens in February?
I have wine conferences, getting my, you know, geek on. Got to go check out the new things.
I see you at one of these conferences now talking about pairing with streaming services and different
it's a
shows.
Thing.
I think you should give a speech on that, because if someone did music, right, in a way that the brain sort of reacts to different pairings and the way something smells and tastes, emotion has a lot to do with that as well.
And who you're with.
And who you're with. Yes, all of that. So in February, you've got the month off, but you still have live music inside as well throughout the season. Mm. Well, who do you have coming up this weekend?
This weekend, we are doing Diversion on Saturday and...
on Sunday? I should pull
on Sunday, we're doing Diversion on... Midnight River Choir, they're coming up from Austin, Texas. They're huge. They're amazing. I really think they're going to be like on your top 40 someday. Midnight River Choir.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll have to look for that too. Mm. Follow. You can also follow Susan and Dannenberger Family Vineyards at DFV Wines on Instagram and on Twitter. And we're going to talk a little bit more in a little bit about all the wines, the three new wines that are coming out next week. But right now we are talking about the Carmen, which is the pairing for Ozark. Now, Elliot, before we go to the 11:30 news, we should decide what the next... You have a pick already for next week's series for her?
Well, it depends. You said Ozark was kind of dark.
Yeah, but it was... I mean,
kind of.
I don't know if you want to stay dark and maybe get a tad on the violent side.
I'm ready for what you guys are throwing at me.
Well, look out.
Because it just dropped.
Oh,
today.
Really? You're going to go with a Marvel series?
The Punisher.
The Punisher.
With James Barenthal. That's the hot new series. And it's supposed to be very... I haven't watched it yet, but it's supposed to be very, very good, very, very dark. And there's a lot of good buzz about it. So maybe another, you know, who knows? You might get hooked on a Marvel series.
The Punisher is your assignment?
The Punisher.
All right. It's yours. It's your segment that you helped create. So I'm going to.
I'm ready.
All right.
I may have added that to my watch list. Off
already?
Go back and look.
Really?
Did it have like a skull?
Yep.
Yep. I did.
You already added it to your watch
it to
list?
My watch list.
Well, there you go. That's perfect.
Okay.
There's there are several Marvel series. The first, only one I've really watched has been Jessica Jones.
I love Jessica Jones.
Oh, well, there you go. So you're already in the world. So this is, she's amazing.
She's fierce and amazing. And then when she was with the Iron Fist guy, that was pretty cool.
Right.
All right. So you're already in. I was like worried. No, she's all in on that. Because, you know, Elliot saw Justice League before it came out this week. There you go.
Oh, you're special.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm just really good at sneaking in the theaters.
When we come back, we're going to take a break here and then go to the news. If you have some questions for Susan Dannenberger, the extraordinary winemaker from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, give us a call, 312-981-7200. And if you have any concerns about your holiday preparations and how the wine's going to go with it or what goes best with your mother-in-law, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We also have music coming up in just a little bit. I think they're still in the green room. I know one of them was like, can I go out and get something to eat? Like he was on lockdown or something. I felt bad for him. So we do have Blue Front coming up with live music in just a little bit on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And just over the moon that it's Friday night and I get to spend the evening with some of my favorite people in the world. Elliot Serrano joins me riding sidecar tonight. He is the our chief geek officer here. You can go to geektome.net for all the great things that he writes. And we can also find out later tonight in the show what he thought about the new Justice League movie. We also have in studio with us the world award-winning winemaker, world award winning. I don't know what world comes from. Award winning, world renowned winemaker, Susan Dannenberger, Dannenberger Family Vineyards, right here in Illinois. This is fun to say that we have an award winning winemaker in Illinois. And
I know, right?
Not to go anywhere. Just, I mean, 2.5 hours. That's it. You get on Amtrak. I was teasing you guys a little bit for being stuck in traffic today. And I apologize because today was extraordinarily bad with the rain and I think the density
going
of people.
Going into holidays.
Yes. Would you please consider taking Amtrak next time?
Oh, I have and I like it. I just, today I didn't because I knew I had to go out to the suburbs. So.
There you go. That'll make the difference too. So although Amtrak has its hangups too. And it probably was going to be very crowded this weekend with kids coming home from college and things like that, too. Probably be very crowded.
Didn't think about that.
We just cracked open the next bottle that you've brought with you.
The Muse.
The Muse de Ceres. And tell us a little bit about this wine.
I think this one's fantastic. And people forget about it on our wine list because it's at the top. And so it's Merlot and Cabernet Franc. And it's very fruit forward. It has some oak, but it's really savory, and it is really deep, even though it's at the top of the wine list. And I was curious what you guys thought about it.
I am in love with it. And I do, and there's a lot that goes into a label, by the way. Anybody who doesn't give you the notes of what I'm one of those people. I when I see certain, there are certain buzzwords for me. And for yours, I see something like vanilla and lavender and even tobacco as some of the sort of notes of it.
I hate when I see a wine label and there isn't just a little bit of what I'm going to get in there, even though I'm a winemaker and I can kind of guess what's going to be in the bottle when I see a wine, but it's still nice to have kind of a little bit of hint of where they're going with it. So I always try to put that on the label so people get an idea so they aren't like, oh, this isn't going to work for me, because I want people to not be shocked before when they get their wine.
I'm like already warm all over, Elliot.
Yeah. Hey, is there a naked woman on that bottle?
No, it's a lovely woman on that bottle.
Oh wait, hold on.
She's a lovely woman.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there you go. Hello. And I know we also have some texts coming in for.
Is she single? No.
So which one do you like better for this show? I don't know.
Oh, for Ozark, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm not saying I taste Ozark, but I taste what you're talking about, where this wine gives you pause while you're in the sort of the adrenaline
rush. The
other
one goes down a little faster.
This I agree completely because this has a warm. I mean, I really do get
warming. Yeah.
And with this one, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna take. I need a moment. It's like I need a moment wine. I'm gonna need a moment, which is why this might. I think this goes well with Ozark and my in-laws. I think that's probably.
Wow, which one's darker is my question.
you've heard my stories about
my
in-laws,
I have.
So there you go. This is perfect. I'm so very excited. What do we have coming in from texters?
First, is Susan going to have any more runs of Siren?
Oh, that was wonderful.
I couldn't find any online. So they went to your website. They couldn't find it. Will you have any more runs of that?
So I always do at least one rosé every season. But this year I'm actually going to do 3 rosés. And so there will be another dry.
Another run?
Yes. Excellent. We are rolling out the Obsession next week. It's very strange to roll out a rosé this time of year, but I had a demand and we're doing it with this big band down in Springfield called Smashtag Obsession because I'm obsessed with this band down in Springfield.
Oh, really?
It's ridiculous. And I've sang with them a few times and I really enjoy their stuff. So I'm doing a rosé.
See if they can come up with it sometime and play in studio.
They're so fun.
That would be a blast, especially if you're going to sing with them. We would love that.
They are wonderful. They would probably love that. And so we're rolling out something next Wednesday. And then the other two of my rosés will be coming out in the spring. Because that's really, rosés are more of a spring and summer kind of thing.
I love that.
Well, the texter already responded with a squee.
Yay!
So they're quite happy.
I know Siren was fantastic. My dry rosés are good. I agree.
They gave you a squee?
A squee.
I don't think I've ever typed out the word squee before.
I don't think I've ever really made the sound squee unless I'm reading it.
Squee! I lost my list of things I was supposed to talk to you about. I'll have to have my producer print up another list. I don't know what happened to it, Michael. I think someone stole my list of all the conversation we were going to have about Dannenberger Family Vineyards and all the great things they have coming out. So you have three. Oh, here. I got it. I found it. So you have 3 wines coming out next week, right? So you've got the... Moon Goddess?
Moon Goddess.
What's Moon Goddess? Hello.
She's a Sauval Blanc. She's very sexy.
Apparently.
A woman artist down in Springfield did the painting, and it is beautiful. It is this wonderful woman in, like, you know, kind of like a negligee, a nice nightgown kind of draping along, and she's staring at the moon, and it's this beautiful piece. And she's very well known for her kind of dark noir stuff. And so Felicia Olin, I love your work. So I'm so thankful that she was able to let me put her piece on my label.
Oh, that's lovely. I love it. And now the wine that we've been that you have paired with Ozark, this is in an oak.
That's been in an oak barrel for about
20 months?
Yeah, at least 20 or 22 months, yeah.
I'm like, I have to make sure that I, because there's something about also the time of it, right? There's, you know, the seasons when you harvest the grapes and what goes into that entire process.
Yeah, so this time of season, the stuff that we just harvested is still in stainless, and it won't go into oak probably until about January. And then it will sit in oak for at least a year and a half, if not longer, depending. I always judge on, you know, I test it and decide if it's ready to go out or if it needs to stay a little longer.
And do you know if these are going to be some of the bottles that will be available at Binny's? Another good friend of the WGM.
I know. They have been so wonderful to me. They picked up the Carmen 2014, so I'm hoping they'll pick up the 2015 once they see that it's coming out. They've been very receptive to what the public wants, actually.
And they're also in the central Illinois locations, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And up here now.
And that's why you stop by, you get your bottle, you're on the way to a party. This is, you get a sleeve for it, you get one of those nice little bags, you bring your hostess gift, you're all set.
Yep.
And host, I don't want to assume that there aren't dudes hosting people for, and I'm not saying, Elliot, that when you come over next week for Thanksgiving dinner that you have to bring a bottle of wine. Could you bring a bottle of wine?
I can bring a bottle
of
wine.
All right, I
appreciate
that.
I bring a few bottles of wine.
Let's take a break here. Let's let Blue Front set up and have some live music in just a few moments, hanging out with Susan Danner. Oh, wait, I can't do this. Jasmine's on the line. Hold on. Hold up, everybody. Hold the phones or pick up the phone. Jasmine, it's your birthday?
The last 15 minutes of my 18th birthday.
Hey, well, I'm so glad I took the call then. I appreciate you calling us on your birthday. What'd you do to celebrate?
Well, sadly, I had to go to school, but it was worth it because all the visually impaired kids get to pick treats for their birthdays from our resource teachers.
Right.
So my teacher, Miss Nugent, she got me a chocolate fudge cake.
Oh, how cool is that?
And when I got home, one of my friends came over and she gave me a 12-pack of baseballs.
Nice. Well, the next thing we need to do is figure out a way to get you on some more sailing next year too. Is that one of?
I'm doing more of those Jed Goldman classes.
Oh, excellent!
I really want to go on the tall ship.
Yeah.
The tall ship, Wendy.
Exactly. I've never been on any of the tall ships. Do you get to visit them when they're in town at Navy Pier?
I went to the festival once.
Hold on, we got some music for you. A little bit of little birthday music. Woohoo! It's for you, Jasmine.
Thanks. I have a quick question, by
the
way.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm just curious. Are wine bottles the ones that when you open they make that sound?
Well, there's a difference, Susan, isn't there? I mean, because there was a little bit of a popping noise when Susan's husband popped open one of the bottles of wine. You had a little bit of that suction.
It's like when you pop the cork. Is that are those the things people open on New Year's, or am I thinking of something else?
Susan,
thinking of champagne, but sometimes wine bottles can make that same sound.
Okay, I was just curious.
And what is the difference, too, with that? Because like the cork expands, too, when you pop open a champagne bottle. So you can't put the cork back in there, Susan. It makes me crazy every time.
Yeah, that has five atmospheres of pressure, so you can't get it back in.
Five atmospheres of pressure? What's going on in a champagne bottle? You got all that atmosphere in there.
Well, thanks for letting me have a little mini party with you guys.
Of course. Happy birthday, Jasmine. It's wonderful to hear from you, as always. Well,
thank you.
Welcome. In 15 minutes, it'll be over, but welcome to...
adult club.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You're in the adult club. Now you can, you're going to register to vote? Are you going to register to vote?
I'm going to, hopefully I'll make better choices than the people who voted for Trump.
Have a wonderful birthday. Jasmine was with us on election night. She was one of the few calls that we took that night. So we're
if you see Nick D, can you tell him that I'm an adult?
I will tell him that you're an adult. Absolutely. All right. He's on vacation for a little bit. We'll make sure he knows when he comes back.
And happy holidays.
Happy holidays, Jasmine. Yay. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are enjoying some Dannenberger Family Vineyard wines. It's Carmen and Musaceres. And we have Susan Dannenberger in studio with us, who has chosen the Carmen, the Cabernet Franc, as her pairing for Ozark, for Binge and Uncork. It's also Music Friday. We are thrilled to welcome in studio Blue Front. Here they are playing for Jonathan, Without You.
Thank you.
That was Blue Front, and they will be at the, they're going to be part of the Wicker Park Bucktown Chamber of Commerce's Chill Fest on November 25th. The performance begins at 4 p.m. at My Eye Doctor, located at 1300 North Ashland Avenue, and you can find them on Facebook, Blue Front Online, and we're going to hear more music from them in just a little bit. Susan Dannenberger in studio with us. I want to make sure we don't ignore any of our texters, Elliot, if you have anybody with any comments or questions coming through. Also want to make sure that we address that. We also want to mention there's a you have a chef's table coming up, Susan?
Oh, yes, our chefs. I'm so lucky to have them, really. Well, okay, I'm biased. One of them is my son, I'll admit that.
Well, then you did have him, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm so lucky. The other one, Zach, he used to work up here in Chicago at Alinea, and now we stole him. So we have a chef's table dinner on December 1st.
Excellent. And everyone go to Dannenberger Family Vineyards. Let's find out about that. Let's tease people about what that means when we come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. Yeah, we are freaking out. We are freaking out. But the good news is what we do is we mix up our Friday freakouts with some live music appearing on the 25th as part of Chill Fest in Wicker Park. Blue Front will be appearing at, am I really getting this right, you guys? Is this going to be a eye doctor store? Right, I'm just making sure that I'm not reading this incorrectly. My Eye Doctor at 1300 North Ashland, and that's right here in Chicago, again, in Wicker Park. But they're live in studio with us right now, and here they are live with This Picture.
Well, it could be between the raindrops or on the head of a pin. Either way, it's clear as day. I'm never going to win. Started out. Happened along the way, you wouldn't take any from me. I've been holding on to this picture in my mind. I took it when we met for the first time, but now this love of kept pushing on this open door, but you were already through. A little less about yourself, and then maybe I wouldn't wonder about you. No, I've been holding on. I took it when we met for the first time, but now this love of mine won't let me cross one more line, and ask me why the road was so long. How your actions, they give your words the lie, as you try to sell yourself the latest alibi. The last in the long line, further than the eye could see, but it's happened more than twice, so shame. We'll be right back. I took it when we met for the first time. But now this love of mine won't let me cross one more line. And that's the old familiar question. I'm open to all suggestions. Tell me why.
Please, you've got to go catch Blue Front. Saturday, November 25th, they're part of the Wicker Park Bucktown Chamber of Commerce Chill Fest 2017. Also find them on Facebook. It's Blue Front, and we'll catch more music with them in just a little bit. We do have to turn our attention to, you know, we're supposed to touch on the news of the week, but things happen so quickly, we can't even, I don't even remember what happened on Monday. Things and stuff, and with the press conference, and the communications director said something, I didn't even know she said that, and I can't, what, Dave?
It's been a long, long, long week.
I have to find a new way. We're going to take Ken Jacobowski and have him join us in just a few moments, but I want everyone to think about this. When you wake up, I need to find a new way to wake up, because the first thing I do, I used to be able to see what my friends are up to and be like, hey, Chicken Elliot's you saw a great movie last night. Now it's my idols or people that I really admired and look up to are having to address things that for me, you know, by the way, struck close to home, because I am passionate about politics and I've been a stand-up comic for 23 years, and it was problematic for me yesterday. I was screaming. I started screaming I woke up screaming, Eric, I woke up, I go, no, come on!
About
what?
Wait, which thing?
It was about Al Franken yesterday. Yes. And my
Patty was very, 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 very edgy about Al Franken yesterday.
My husband and my son had been awake for a couple hours, and they came in and they go, okay, here's the thing. And they had already processed it. They had already come up with what they were gonna tell me when I woke up, because I was just really, I was upset because I've been in those pictures where the dudes around me have done gross and disgusting things. And here's the thing about that too, is that I'm friends with them. I'm not friends with them anymore the way I was when we toured together. But when I think of them, I don't necessarily think of that photo. But for me, because I've just laughed it off for so long, I've just been like, well, that's just what happens to me when I go on the road. And this is the way dudes treat me. I'm just a prop and I'm not human. And I'm just my body is there for them to make fun of. And then when I saw that picture, I was like, I just wanted that to not exist.
Did it help you at all that he actually wasn't grabbing her, that his hands were actually
over? It's the gesture.
Over.
It really is the gesture. It really is. Well, because I could show you the picture of the guys with the, and here's the thing. Last night I mentioned this, that there were two guys. So it's a band that I toured with. They're also kind of a comedy group, and they were around me, and I thought we were capturing a memory of being on the road. We'd been touring for 3 years on and off through the spring and the fall, and I loved traveling with them, and I thought I'd take a great picture with them, and I was like, I wanted to, you know, I was like posing with them, and one is looking at my breasts with his mouth open, tongue out, and the other two are doing the gesture and this makes people laugh, and I didn't realize that it doesn't sound as sexually aggressive to everybody else as it does to me, which is the two in the pink, one in the stink, and they were doing that gesture around me. See, he snickered. It rhymes. Part of the problem is that it rhymes, but to me, that's always seems something that's aggressive. Because
okay, I just got that. It took me a second.
Yeah, but to pose that way around a woman and go and say this is what I want to do to her is, and that's what that Frank. But that was the first thing I thought of when I opened my eyes yesterday, and I was really so. I mean, I haven't talked. And then right away, one of my friends messaged me and asked me if he had been inappropriate on the tour, and it wasn't even the guy in the picture. He saw that post, knew right away, and I went through our messages. The last time I talked to him was 7 years ago, and the first time he's reached out to me is because of that post I made yesterday. And people who know me and have worked with me are like, they're going through their file, going, was that me? I don't remember. So let's talk about that when we come back. I'm freaking out. I am freaking out a little bit. Let's not lie. I'm freaking out just a little bit. I just, you know, I'm feeling a little bit of this right now. Hold on a second. Let's do that.
Generator failure.
More after this on 720 WGN. We're bringing Kendrick Gabowski too. You're listening pretty late. That's one of those moments we should never record, though. You didn't have Facebook Live that, Elliot, did you?
No, I didn't, because, like, I'm serious. I was really scared. So I was frightened.
She's so friendly on the show, and yet during the break, she's like,
oh, no.
There has to be a yin and a yang.
Which Patty's going to be?
There's got to be a yin and a yang to stuff. Oh, she's really up her sleeves. I don't know.
It's about to get real.
My son hates this. He's like, Mommy, you know that you're she. Why do you say Patty, like as a third person? I'm like, you're right. That's absolutely wrong. It's weird. It's bizarre. Ken Jacobowski joins us on the line. I haven't had a chance to listen to the audio. Michael, if you have a moment, not, and it doesn't have to be right away, but can you pull the audio of Sarah Huckabee Jr.? What's her name?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders,
when she says that it's not the same because Al... I don't know.
She said,
just look for the crazy stuff that she says in a press conference.
She said Al admitted it, and the president denied it, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
So yeah,
not the same thing. Ken, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great.
You have avoided the drama in the studio.
Well, I've been listening attentively, and while I've been listening, I just read probably one of the most bizarre Facebook posts I think I've read. Maybe in my life, by a candidate for a major office.
The one for Ohio governor?
Oh, this is incredible. Patty, are you aware of this?
Did you see this from the Supreme Court justice in the Ohio?
Hey, not for nothing, but I've banged 50 chicks.
Yeah,
I'm going to go ahead and get a front of this one. I just want everyone to know I'm a fortunate man. And
they was all hot.
They was.
Let me quote.
Okay.
In the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females. It ranged from a gorgeous blonde who was my first true love, and we made passionate love in the hayloft of her parents' barn, and ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead from Cleveland. Now, we should actually do this as the script and play this out.
I've never read anything
like this before.
I don't want to know what that's from.
Yeah. We can't do letters to Penthouse.
Are you trying to compete with Will Chamberlain?
No, seriously, this guy, is, first of all, there's two amazing things about this thing. Number one, he posted it, period. Number two, he's a Supreme Court justice in Ohio, a Democrat. Number three, he's running for governor in the Democratic primary. Or he was until this mine.
Well, I mean, I don't.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, rub it in.
Yeah, I mean, what is happening? I mean, it's every day. This is what I'm talking about. I wake up angry every single day. Here's how I wake up. I wake up going, now what? Now what? That's
See, but here's the good news for you.
Haven't you been doing that, though, since Donald Trump was elected president?
It seems to be accelerating. I feel like every once in a while I wake up and I'm like, huh, that's weird.
You know what? But see, here's the thing. What makes it better for you, Patty, is that you wake up like 11:30 noon because you're up all night.
Yes. You guys have had time to process.
But you get to compress the first four insane hours of the day into like just a quick reading. So it makes you freak out a little more.
Here, let's see. I have not seen the press conference. We'll talk about the Supreme Court justice, but I do want to hear. I have to hear it. I have to hear it from my own ears. What Sarah Sanders Huckabee Jr., whatever her name is. Go ahead. What is it?
The allegation made by his accuser. Is it also fair to investigate this president and the allegations of sexual misconduct made against him by more than a dozen women?
Look, I think that this was covered pretty extensively during the campaign. We addressed that then. The American people, I think, spoke very loud and clear when they elected this president.
Yeah.
How is this different?
Jerks.
I think in one case specifically, Senator Franken has admitted wrongdoing and the president hasn't. I think that's a very clear distinction, Major.
So I want to revisit something we discussed yesterday. You said one of the ways
Al Franken admitted it, the president denied it.
So that's
the distinction is that
so here's
Al Franken you know, admitted it and the president denied it. So why should I talk about it ever again?
And here's the thing about Al Franken addressing it is he's saying, I'm listening to this woman. Whereas everybody who heard all the, there are at least 16 women on record who have accused Donald Trump of sexual assault or harassment in some way, including walking into the dressing rooms during these beauty contests.
Yes, Miss Teen. Don't forget Miss Teen.
But so somehow because those women, that he didn't admit it, we shouldn't listen to them. We can't believe
and
her.
And yet, that was what the Access Hollywood tape was an admission of guilt.
Yeah.
I mean, he did admit it.
Right. We have a photo of Al Franken posing in an incredibly outrageous way, but we have audio of something far worse, I believe, in so many ways. It is about sexual. Grab them by the vagina, and I'm going to know. Last night I said the word, but it's more egregious. It is more hostile. Yes, go ahead, Ken. I'm fine.
And we have Donald Trump in the lead, 13-1 in accusers.
Yeah. I can't. I don't know what's happening. Everyone's looking at their screen. Are there more stories breaking right now while we're on the air? Is there something else that's coming out that I should know about?
No, nothing yet. Nothing yet. I'm watching. I'm just watching.
I'm just of me?
Yeah.
Fair. That's fair.
Okay, well, no, there is this new thing that just came out.
What?
Married teacher and JV cheerleading coach, 23, arrested for sex affair with teen boy student.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, my summer school teacher was fired for playing strip poker with the football team, my chemistry teacher. Yeah. That's a weird thing. These are all weird things. Everyone's got to look. People have kinks, right? And that's inappropriate. And that's a kink that you gotta check yourself before you wreck yourself. I don't know why. I have to rhyme things
rickety,
now.
Rickety, rickety, rickety.
This is the thing, is that I get very protective when people start to jest about sexual assault. And I'm now doing the same thing because otherwise I would be using language that's not appropriate. And the FCC would come in here and drag me out of the studio. So this is a little bit of adrenaline. I promise you I'll take it down a notch and we will have a level-headed conversation. I want to take a break. I want to readjust. I know Ken's coming into this. He's not in the studio, so he can't feel the craziness that's coming. We'll play a little music from Bluefront.
Music would help.
We're going to have some music from Bluefront. We're going to hear some news from Roger Badish, but first we need a quick break. Join our conversation. This is your conversation. Don't hang back. 312-981-7200. Talk me off the ledge, Elliot.
We shouldn't have let Susan leave.
I'm telling you.
The moment she left,
loose.
It
yeah.
went
she
crazy.
She had wine.
Yeah. She had wine. She was a calming influence.
Bluefront's trying to figure out the fastest way to get out of here. They're like, no, you guys have no idea off the air. She's crazy. She said words I didn't even know she would say those kinds of things. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. In order to break up some of the tense conversation that we have about the you know, what's going on in the world, going on in particular with politics and our government. And that's the thing, too, is that a lot of this stuff is it's government. We talk about politics and that becomes negative, but it's also our government and should be here to regulate, to make sure that we are all benefiting from a system that we voluntarily participate in. That's what is so frustrating to me, Elliot. So there's a lot of freaking out. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot. But it's supposed to be a conversation. And in order to break that up a little bit, we are always thrilled to have incredible musicians in the studio on Friday nights. Tonight, we are thrilled to welcome Bluefront. They are going to be performing in Wicker Park, part of the Chill Fest. They'll be playing at 4 p.m. at My Eye Doctor, located at 1300 North Ashland, but they're live in studio right now and they're playing It Was Only.
It was only just a matter of time before I'd notice I could no longer see the line. How did it get this far? And where did it go? It was only everything, only everything I know. It was only yesterday, every choice, every decision.
They say only time will tell, but I think we already know. It was only everything I know. It was only it was only just a matter of faith. Seems I came to the party just a little too late. Can't turn back the clock, betrayed by what was once mine. It was only everything, only everything I know. It was only, it's in the just a matter of time before I'd notice that I could no longer see the light. Faith and yesterday have robbed me blind. It was only everything, only everything I know. It was only everything I know. It was only.
That was amazing music. That was again. Awesome. That was It Was Only, and someone asked what their previous song had been. They played before the news earlier.
The Picture.
This Picture was the name of that song. They'll be playing at Chill Fest in Wicker Park beginning. It's at 4 p.m. at My Eye Doctor, 1300 North Ashland, and that's going to be part of Wicker Park's Chill Fest 2017, again, on November 25th. I want to apologize for throwing furniture at them while they were playing. I was trying to get ahead of some of the segments that we're doing in a little bit, and I knocked over the lampshade, and I apologize to both of you gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I don't know if you're up for another song, so I'm not going to assume anything, because I know that there was a lot of yelling off the air, so you're probably like, you know what, we could probably head out, so we'll see what happens.
Don't leave.
Again, at Blue Front in studio, we've got a lot of stories to get to when we return. Thank you again. Where can people find you guys online in case you do decide to run for your lives?
Bluefrontmusic.com and on Facebook under the same name.
Bluefrontmusic.com and Bluefrontmusic on Facebook and social media.
And Bandcamp as well.
Bandcamp, excellent. Download their music. They're incredible, even when there's furniture flying at them. More after this on 720 WGN. Is it my turn? Do I talk now? I would say hi to Angie. I miss you, Angie. Angie's one of our, she keeps the entire building. I'm going to say that she's not the person in charge of the entire building, but she does amazing work. Angie, it's good to see you. Happy Thanksgiving, my love. Thank you. I haven't seen you in a while. Elliot Serrano joins me in studio, our chief geek officer. We have Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum Illinois. We have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, political strategist, and also a regular contributor to Justin Kaufman's show. On the line with us, we have Ken Jakubowski, president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. We have Music with Bluefront coming up, more with them after the 1 a.m. news, and then we'll unlock the door and let them leave because Elliot won't let them go.
No, you cannot leave.
You cannot leave. let's continue just briefly some of the conversation because I actually mentioned this off the air and to Dave and Eric about going through and thinking about all the people we've kind of let off the hook. And I was mentioning all the outrage over Louis C.K. and Bill Cosby and things like that. For me, I've never really held accountable in my mind my legend, which was one of them, is Richard Pryor, who we know had beaten his wife, ripped her clothes off, threw her out of the house and was in the street. And there's a very good point to be made, of course. I mean, this is something I think people have struggled with for decades, is in regards to Bill Clinton, President Clinton, and the idea that we should... if we're going to say I believe her, and if we're going to believe hashtag me too, then Juanita Broderick?
Yes. Broderick.
Yeah. Has had from the very beginning alleged that Bill Clinton attacked her.
Correct.
And this is something that, you know, we are coming to terms with all of it. And if, by the way, dudes, if you're worried about your careers and your livelihoods, welcome to the party, pal. So anyway...
So I have a question. So why is Juanita Broderick back in the news?
Well, we're talking about when we believe someone's allegations and when...
No. I know why you're raising it, but why did she even get into the news to begin with, since we've already discussed all this in the 90s about 745,000 times?
Donald Trump brought her out to one of the debates last year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at the time I said, what's he do? You know, who cares? Clintons are gone. So, you know... If we're going to start criticizing presidents for their sexual proclivities, then let's start right now with a petition on this show. Elliot, open up the Facebook page. Let's put a petition out to change the name of the John F. Kennedy Airport in New York.
Well, actually, Ann Coulter already brought him up, too.
Really?
Yeah. That was like...
We can go to a lot of former presidents.
Franklin Roosevelt, Dwight Eisenhower. Although those were just affairs. Those weren't... Kennedy was bad. I mean,
well,
Kennedy was
a philanderer. Do we know that he was accused of sexual assault?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh.
John Kennedy, what President Kennedy liked to do with the women that he was with, because of his sore back, he often had sex in a bathtub. And at the key moment, he used to like to, without informing his partner, he used to like to take her head and push it underwater. Yes.
What? How? You guys look at me like you knew that. Dave? Eric?
No, I didn't know that. Ken always pulls this stuff out.
It's in several books that I've written, that I've read. It's the most prominently a book by Ralph Martin. Look, all these guys, you know, if we start down this path, it's a bad path to go down. It leads to stuff like tonight that happened to Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, where a fake account popped up on Twitter accusing Senator Blumenthal of sexual harassment about 40 years ago when he was a practicing lawyer. The Trump universe picked it up. It went everywhere. Blumenthal denied it. Upon further review, turns out it's a fake account. There never was.
Seriously?
The tweet that was put out is the tweet says, from someone named Linda Flores, I've waited almost 40 years to tell my story. I was an intern at a law office with Senator Blumenthal and was sexually assaulted by Richard countless times. Told the story to my husband, has been eaten alive. He has been eating me alive since. Turns out it's a complete total fake. There is no Linda Flores, doesn't exist. The account's fake.
Oh,
the pictures were changed tonight about 5 times on the account. Each time someone would identify the picture as someone else who had a different Twitter account that they cut and pasted. So this sort of stuff happens, and this all turns into a witch hunt. And I just think we're heading down a very, very dangerous road.
Well, but it's not just a witch hunt. Eric, you sent an article about how Congress had paid out $17 million in settlements. And how do we not even know that this is going on to the people that we have voted for and elected to represent us in Washington, D.C.?
And a lot of that, though, too, it wouldn't necessarily just be
our legislators?
17 million in terms of any kind of sexual harassment or anything like that from the Office of Compliance. You know, that could be anything. You know, when someone separates from an office for whatever reason and they get some sort of severance or some sort of settlement or something like that, it's not always sexually related. To the point, Ken, you were making about, you know, why are we talking about Juanita or anything like that? I mean, I think it's kind of relevant, especially since how, you know, Senator Gillibrand just kind of came out and said that, you know, Clinton should have resigned his presidency based on things that happened with Monica, the things that happened with Paula Jones and Juanita. And she said that yesterday. And, you know, that's a pretty bold statement for a Democrat senator to make about a former sitting president.
Especially a Democrat senator sitting in Hillary Clinton's seat.
It's an idiot statement, in my opinion.
I mean, I think the biggest thing, you know, to think about is, you know, the first step on the long road to any kind of redemption is being a better person, acknowledging, you know, the wrongdoing, apologizing sincerely, and not blaming others. You know, as much as I don't want to, I've not supported Senator Franken, but Senator Franken did the right thing, and Judge Moore and President Trump have not.
Do you think it would make a difference if former President Bill Clinton made a statement and addressed this finally? Or, I mean, I can't really remember how we left it.
No, because he lied to the American people on a number of occasions.
So it wouldn't matter if he even made a statement now?
No.
Okay.
Well, I can say this. I was on the front lines during that entire saga as Jesse Jackson's global communications director at the time. If you recall, President Clinton and the White House, they figured out pretty early on that the best thing for them to do would be to curry favor with the black community, because the black community was in tremendous support of President Clinton during that entire time. In fact, it was about 75% support in the black community, and it was almost the reverse in the white community on the issue of sexual harassment, Monica, etc. So as Jesse's point person, I was on a phone call about four times a week with Paul Begala and others, planning strategy and then executing strategy each day in the media to try to help the president from a PR perspective. My job, of course, was within the black community. I mean, I live this. It's over. It's done with. He lied to all of us. At the time I was involved in it, we all thought that it was a witch hunt, that this didn't happen. We later found out it did. And I, you know, at that point, I just said I had enough. And I think a lot of other people who were supporting him also said we had enough. But it was over and you move on. I don't exactly think he's going to be held up to any moral standard at any point. That's not what, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Well, when we talk about a moral standard. Oh, Eric, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say to that point, Ken, I think voters in Alabama have a chance to do something many voters in 2016 and in 1992 didn't do.
Yeah.
And that is vote against a man who abused and sexually harassed women. And they have that chance on December 12th.
What's bizarre to me, though, is when you see some of these speeches he's giving in churches and how energized people come out. I mean, you know, we can say that he's slipping in the polling and that, you know, he's falling behind because he had a 17 to 20 point lead at some point, and that has obviously shrunk. But at the same time, it doesn't matter, because it depends on who shows up on that voting day.
Right. It totally does. I mean, look, this is I think that one of the challenges we have now is conflating inappropriate behavior and predatory behavior and actual rape. It's really a problem, because we're at this point, and I hadn't heard about that Blumenthal thing. But some of the articles were saying, you know, you're setting up a situation where you're just asking for fake attacks, because if we're all going to say we believe them, but we do. And when you have these credible allegations and the pattern's identical, and the guy was banned from the mall. I didn't even know you could do that. So when you see something like that, you're going like,
"What,
okay,
Elliot?
This guy's just a predator." You've been banned from a mall, Elliot?
You're obviously a square because you get banned from malls all the time.
There's a lot of different reasons. Not for the reason that Roy Moore was banned from the mall.
Okay, just let the record reflect. Well, I've never been banned from a mall.
Fair enough.
To the best of my knowledge.
And to the idea that a lot of concern about, well, this is somehow it's snowballing and people are worried about getting caught up in the spokes of it. Well, it's going to be messy. It's going to be painful. And part of the reason why that photo of Al Franken was disturbing is, one, he's somebody who, for everything that we know about him since he has been in office, has fought for what, you know, many regard to be very feminist issues, for, you know, all different kinds of things that the Democrats stand for. And the problem is that image it drives home this idea that women are objects, which lends itself to, you know, when you say this is snowballing, well, for women, it snowballs when we laugh and go, okay, well, they were just doing that. And we laugh and we go, okay, well, he was just grabbing my ass. Or we laugh and go, he was just looking at my boobs. And then the next thing you know, you're in a dangerous situation because you no longer, your ability to see the warning signs are really diminished over a lifetime of, well, I'll just smile and laugh at this. And the next thing you know, you're in a physically violent situation. More after this on 720 WGN. That's right, we're getting our freak on. You know what? That's what's been going on for decades, and the guys are paying for it now. It's time now for more Music Friday. We're thrilled to welcome in studio Blue Front. They're going to be participating in Wicker Park's Chill Fest 2017 at 1300 North Ashland, beginning at 4 p.m., but they are live in studio right now. Here they are with High Time.
high time.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah.
Fantastic. I want to thank Blue Front for joining us in studio and during the conversation both on the air and off the air. They got a little bit more color than most of our guests do on a Friday night. And again, they will be at the Wicker Park Chill Fest coming up on November 25th. That's going to be at My Eye Doctor, 1300 North Ashland Avenue. You can also find them at bluefrontmusic.com and on Facebook, Blue Front Music, and also download some of their wonderful tunes that they have on Bandcamp. You guys, thank you. Alan, Nick, correct? Alan, Jason. Nick is the drummer.
He's just out of town.
He's just out of town. Well, someday we'll. I don't even believe he exists, but yeah. There you go. He exists. You guys have a wonderful evening. Well, welcome to hang out as long as you want. I just want to relieve you of your duties, and if you want to enjoy some wine and candy, we have some Halloween stuff left over here, too. I have one donut left. That's all I got left for you guys. Joining me in studio as well are Eric Elk, there goes the Facebook. It happens every single time. You know it does. You may as well expect. When's your phone going to go off again? Eric Elk, the president and CEO of Fulcrum, Illinois. We have Dave Lundy, the president of Aileron Communications, regular contributor to the Justin Kaufman Show. We also have on the line with us Ken Jakubowski, president and CEO of Cirrus Enterprises, and Elliot Serrano, chief geek officer, who's just dying to just talk about Justice League. But instead, we have other things to talk about. Do we have that audio? There's a listener, Michael, who would really like to hear some audio. Michael, do we have that audio that a listener has requested? Oh, you still have to go through the editing? All right. He's trying to decide which version of it is. Elliot, what audio has a listener requested? Because they seem to be in doubt of something.
Well, because many people say that Donald Trump has never been proven to have done any of the things that are alleged.
Right.
And they're even saying that Al Franken has admitted to it. And yet, Donald Trump has, on video, admitted to...
And audio admitted to
pretty much sexually assaulting women.
Here we go. Let's hear some of this audio.
She's still very beautiful. I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and... She was married.
That's huge news there.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took her out furniture. I moved on her like a...
Like a what?
I couldn't get
like a
there.
Bitch, just so you know.
Your girl's hot as
And Michael is like, please don't make me play the rest of this. Michael's like blushing because he was not here when this audio dropped. So he goes on later in this video to say that he when you're famous, you can just grab somebody by the vagina, but he uses another word. So a lot of that's bleeped out. So the listener who wanted to hear that can hear that unedited, all the words that Donald Trump uses. And there's nothing really more to be said except that he admits that he's sexually aggressive and will assault women given the opportunity. So I don't know what else there is to say about that.
Yeah, I get very frustrated when people like the texter say, oh, well, Donald Trump never did. It was locker room talk. It was just locker room talk. Well, so A, it's not. And B, it's an admission of sexual assault.
Yeah.
I mean, and what's interesting is that he admits exactly the behavior he's accused of.
Right.
So I'm sorry, and the admission of the President of the United States is not good enough for you.
He admits it right there in the video. There's nothing else in the audio. There's nothing else to say about it. So there you go. There's your audio, but I guess you don't have Google yourself, but you can text the show and enjoy yourself if that's what you want to do. We have let's talk about taxes and death, because without any health care, that's what's going to happen. More for this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. On the line is Ken Jakubowski. Ken, don't you think that it's kind of nice on a night like tonight to just have some music to break that up? I apologize we put you on hold for so long.
I think the point that you're making just now is we are all dealing with high anxiety. And I think I've been dealing with it since Trump was elected president. I used to go to bed at night, wake up in the morning and take a look at my phone and look at who won the late games, whether any trades made, anybody get hurt, and, is there any occasional breaking news?
Sure.
Now I wake up in the middle of the night, I look at my phone, I look at the president's tweets, I can't get back to sleep, I'm just anxious all the time.
Well, and the thing is, we're anxious about things that aren't even as important, really. I mean, some of it is, you know, taunting somebody into World War III.
I worry about us being attacked by North Korea.
Yeah. But today's vote by the House of Representatives, I think, is important that people need to be taking note of. I don't know if people are as invested as they were when it came to health care, as far as repealing and replacing Obamacare. It seemed as though there was sort of these armies of voters who were like, we are not going to stand for this. But when it comes to taxes, is it because it's so complicated? Because, I mean, our taxes in general, I mean, I sign my taxes every year where it says, to the best of my knowledge, I am being honest. I'm like, this is the year I go to jail. I have absolutely no idea what I just did on my taxes. I'm making it up as I go. I'm like, these are my W-2s. These are my 1099s. This is what people sent me. And then, you know, somewhere along the way, some company that has an accountant that's behind sends me something 6 months later. Now I have to do an adjusted tax form. And I think that people get inundated by the information and don't realize what's happening as far as the tax reform that they're talking about. What is your sense of this, Dave, as far as what they voted on today?
Well, two things. One, I think that the difference between taxes and health care is that health care has an immediacy.
Yes.
The effect on me is immediate.
Right.
If I get sick today, I will not have health insurance and therefore I could die if I have cancer or something, you know, something major. Whereas taxes, you know, it's a more delayed impact. And so people don't notice it until it's too late. So the bill that the House passed a bill that is, I mean, the House bill, the Senate bill are totally different. The House bill is going to wind up pushing a whole lot of money from the middle class up to the very wealthiest Americans.
So they can tinkle on us. Oh,
yes,
trickle down on
trickle
us.
Down. Yes. Yes, trickle down.
Sorry.
The Senate bill, though, what's interesting is that you already have Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, saying he's not going to vote for it. They can only afford to lose, I think, one or two more votes in order to and still pass it. But there are so many horrific things in the Senate bill. Like, for example, they remove the deductibility of student loan interest.
Mm-hmm.
$71 billion it saves by removing that, saves the government, allows them to take that $71 billion and push it up to the wealthiest Americans to get the tax cut. They remove the medical expense deduction so that if you have a lot of medical expenses, you can no longer deduct that from your taxes. As I've expressed on the show before, that was enormously important when my dad was sick for this almost 7 years that he was ill. He had medical expenses in excess of $100,000 a year.
Right.
We deducted those expenses. It allowed the numbers to work. And not just that, but you're eliminating the state and local tax and property tax deduction, which is huge for blue states, for states that have higher local taxes. And then you hear the red state people saying, we're just funding you. But of course, the numbers show that the blue states always are exporters of their taxes. They get
yep.
less tax revenue back than they put out into the federal government. So this is going to make
because they have less power in the federal level.
And let me point out one more thing. According to the Joint Committee on Taxation, which is the U.S. Congress's official nonpartisan analyst, every American earning between $10,000 and $75,000 over the next decade will have their taxes increased by the Senate tax bill.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It's a tax increase.
Well, and not only that, but
under $75,000.
And not only that, but the so the tax cuts on the supposed tax cuts that are on the individuals expire in 10 years, but the massive tax cuts for corporations, which are the bulk of the bill, are permanent. So the corporate tax cuts are permanent. The individual tax cuts
expire.
Temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane that they think they can get away with this thing. So my prediction is it's not going anywhere.
How you doing, Eric?
Well, look, to Dave's point a minute ago, Ron Johnson's been the first Republican to come out. Ron Johnson's from Wisconsin. He's a conservative Republican member who first won office in 2010. And, he has said that... he's likely to oppose it because of the way it treats business. Senator Flake, who's retiring, and Senator Cork, who are retiring, both senators, Arizona, respectively, and Tennessee, have issues with it because they believe that it'll cost more than originally advertised. And Senator Collins from Maine has issues with it because of the repeal of the individual mandate with ACA.
As does Senator Murkowski.
Correct. So there's about a one vote margin on there, and Murkowski and Senator McCain have not come out and said where they are on this issue. But I think that trying to pass an unpopular tax cut that's pushed by an unpopular president through an unpopular Congress with an unpopular party
winning
will not be a political benefit in 2018 for the GOP. And you think about the fact that the Congress approval rating right now is at a 13 approve and about a 73, 74 disapprove.
How do they experience, because you've worked in D.C., how do the legislators experience the pressure from big, you know, from big corporations and from billionaires who want this, who say, you know, I mean, this is how the, you know, the markets are being buoyed, is on the hopes of having this huge tax reform. What kind of pressure is put on guys like this?
You know, some it varies. You know, some folks will hear from their donor community. I mean, keep in mind our system right now is so
out of whack,
flawed in so many ways.
That's one F word for it, sure.
So, you know, think about this. So, when folks were sworn in January of 2017, mm-hmm. from the November 16. You know, so they were sworn in, whatever, 11 months ago for the new Congress. They had to start, or were allowed to start circulating petitions a month ago or 2 months ago now for Illinois' primary in March. So they are seated in January, sworn in January, and 8 to 9 months later, they have to start circulating petitions just to get on the ballot for the next cycle.
Right.
I mean, it's such a compressed time, especially for those House members, that the, you know, there's been so many stories written. The bulk of their time is spent, you know, typically over at the political, at the campaign apparatus, making fundraising calls, because campaigns.
So it's fundraising, so less with their constituents than with
the donors are driving this.
I mean,
yeah.
And if I could just say one thing about, so Peter Roskam, speaking of these, the congresspeople, Republican congresspeople, Peter Roskam voted for this thing, thinks this is awesome, is 100% behind it. 50% of his constituents are going to be hurt by the removal of the state and local tax deduction.
Somebody has an interesting question. Sam, I'm curious as to your thoughts on this. Sam, what's your question?
My question is, why should a corporation pay any tax? A corporation should pay zero tax.
They don't typically.
And what it would do is it gives its profit back to its shareholders in dividends, and then they pay the tax.
Based on what information do you have that? Because everyone in the studio is shaking their heads, and I don't know what Ken's doing.
Well, I know, but everybody, you could shake your head all you want, but
Sam? Just so direct me
Based upon the fact that I understand business models and the fact that I understand the way that a corporation works.
So Sam, you have a corporation? Yes.
And these guys are smart. But
what was that, Ken?
There was, directly to his point, because the point he's making is the point that Cohen and our Secretary of the Treasury have been making, that you give the corporations the tax break, they give it right back to shareholders and to workers. So this Monday, there was an event in New York put on by the Wall Street Journal. It was a CEO conference. So Gary Cohn was there. And the question from the moderator to about 300 CEOs in attendance was, raise your hands. How many of you plan on increasing your capital investment and or passing your savings, your tax savings, onto your workers? Only 5 raised their hands. And Cohen's reaction was, hey, what's wrong with the rest of you guys? That's the problem.
Right.
It doesn't happen. They don't do it. They keep the cash. They hoard the cash. Some give it in dividends, but a lot of them do it in acquisitions. They do all sorts of stuff.
But
and the average worker never sees it.
Ken,
and
if they're
pay the price.
If they're not, one thing I'll counter with that is if they're not paying taxes and it allows the company to have a better cash flow or more cash where they're able to do an acquisition and continue to grow the business, where they're able to hire more people, create more jobs.
Yeah, but that hasn't worked historically. It doesn't. There is no evidence that in lower tax countries, those businesses are hiring more people. There are a lot of low tax countries. Albania is a low tax country. Their corporations are taxed at 10%. Ours are supposedly taxed at 40%, but they don't. None of them pay 40%.
I got to run the news because Michael's head's going to explode behind the glass, and I cannot clean it up again. Sam, thank you for launching us into that conversation. I had to turn you down because you weren't letting our guests answer your question. More after this on 720 WGN. Sometimes you got to take that freak out and just put it in a good place. Just put it away. Just, you know, when you start freaking out, you just got to shake yourself off and go, you know what? I'm going to think about other things. I'm going to distract myself. I'm going to listen to some music. I'm going to do some yoga. I'm going to walk around the block, walk in the rain, have a nice glass of Aquavit by CH Distillery. I just told you about that off the air, Elliot. It's a very tasty beverage that I enjoyed at the Lincoln Park Chamber of Commerce earlier in the week.
Nice.
And, of course, we have the Dannenberger Family Vineyards. We have a bottle of Carmen and a bottle of the Muse de Ceres. It's been lovely. Dave Lundy, Eric Elk, and Ken has left us because we're not able to share a script with him for What's That From. So he's, like our listeners, just going to tune in and enjoy when we have a chance to get that up on its feet. First, I wanted to ask Elliot about the new movie out this week. Going to be probably the biggest the box office draw, I would think. It should be, at least. It's Justice League with a lot of our favorites.
All your favorite superheroes, all together, Wonder Woman, finally, together for the first time
Aquaman,
ever.
Flash.
Yeah.
Batman. Superman.
Spoiler. Yes.
We knew he was coming back. Did you guys see Batman versus Superman?
Oh, my God. That was so awful.
Okay. But, however, yeah. I watch it just for the Wonder Woman scenes. The introduction of Wonder Woman is actually quite lovely. I think it's exquisite. When she's at that fundraiser with crazy boy Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
It's really fun to watch her. It's the only reason I ever watch it again is I'm not a fan of Ben Affleck's. And the Superman movies I thought were not as good.
No, they weren't. Yeah.
But so how is Justice League? What were you going to say, Eric?
Nothing.
All right, have you seen these movies at all?
You don't think the Superman movies, the current version of the Superman movies, are good?
Terrible.
I think it's horrible.
But
really? Yeah.
You like them?
Well, here was the thing.
I'm sorry.
I like the first one.
Okay.
Oh, wait, are you talking about Man of Steel?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Man
with
of
Bruce
Steel.
Bruce Willis and
No. Man of Steel with the current
not
guy.
Not Bruce Willis. Yeah. Kevin Costner and Diane.
No. Henry Cavill.
Diane Lane plays the parents.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Sorry, you're right. Yes. Yeah. That one.
I don't think of the. I just think of the couple, the parents in that movie for some reason. Good.
And Russell Crowe was Jor-El. So
sure.
He's
yes.
Dad.
Okay.
I like Man of Steel.
The thing about Man of Steel, I loved like the first half hour. It's really cool. The whole thing on Krypton, I thought was really neat and different. And then Superman turns all petulant teenager and emo, and then he turns into a sociopath. At one point. And then all these people are dying around him, and he doesn't seem to care.
Is that true to the comic books at
all?
Oh,
no. Superman would never let that happen. I mean, Superman 2. Remember the scene when the Christopher Reeve Superman is fighting Zod in the middle of Metropolis, and he's like, I need to get away from Metropolis because we're hurting all these people around us with our fight. And that's what they should have done in Man of Steel, but they didn't. But anyway, here's the thing about
and he's a self-righteous jerk in Batman vs. Superman.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, but the whole Batman, I'm sorry, Batman vs. Superman was just a
they're
stupid,
both self-righteous
stupid,
jerks. Yeah.
Stupid movie.
Yes. Yes. But here's the thing. Justice League acknowledges all the mistakes that Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman made.
Really?
And it's almost like they decided to kind of forget what happened in those two movies.
Okay.
And decide, you know what? Batman and Superman are more like the guys you know in the comic books than what we've been doing in the movies. But it's just, okay, who saw Regarding Henry? Anyone
I did.
Remember,
ooh.
Remember Regarding Henry?
Yeah, with Harrison Ford and Annette Bening. What movie? I'm sorry. Ritz Crackers? I don't know what you're talking about.
So, and of course, the premise of... I say... the premise.
It's a deep cut, my friend.
Right. Yes.
Regarding Henry, Harrison Ford plays really a jerk lawyer. He's like a
right.
total jerk.
Gets shot in the head. Oh, spoiler, sorry.
Right. And then he has to... I mean, when he recovers from the head wound, he's returned to a simpler state, right? And he's actually a nice guy. You know, he like forgets all those years of being a jerk.
Yeah.
They did the same thing with Superman. It's like when they killed him at the end of Batman versus Superman and they resurrect him in Justice League, it's like, oh, they regarding Henry'd him. He's like, he's a really nice guy now. He cares. He wants to save people. He smiles. He does all that great stuff that we like Superman for.
So basically it was like Dallas. It was the season where Bobby woke up in the shower.
Yeah, pretty much. Right. So I'm telling folks, if you want to see Justice League, don't even bother with the previous movies. Watch Wonder Woman, because really Justice League feels very much like Wonder Woman leads right into it. Okay. And Wonder Woman has a substantial role
Yay!
In this film.
Love Gal Gadot.
You're going to get a lot of Wonder Woman in this one. And you're actually going to get a Superman that you're going to like in this one.
How about Batman? Right? Yeah, it's wrong.
Bad. You know, it's not as... It's like Ben Affleck isn't as good in this one. And I know it's because... a lot of the scenes that he did, it was Joss Whedon came in and reshot a lot of stuff. So a lot of the scenes that Ben Affleck is in, it's Joss Whedon directing him, and Ben Affleck needs a really good director to get a good performance out of him, and Joss Whedon's not that
interesting.
Guy.
How about how are Flash and Aquaman?
Ezra Miller is the comic relief. He's funny. He's just funny
as
Flash.
Okay.
And yes, Jason.
And Flash at OE. I mean, like, they do a great job on the series, but I know it's
but
different.
But this is kind of different. Yeah,
he's
very different.
Yeah.
I mean, and Jason Momoa as Aquaman, kind of cool. He's also, although real emo. I will say this. I like that he starts off incredibly emo, and then halfway through he decides to say, whatever, I'm having fun. And then he goes with it, so.
What's the peril that we're in? Who's the antagonist in this?
Steppenwolf, who's a minion of Darkseid. He's one of Darkseid's foot soldiers. Here's the thing: if you didn't read the comic books, a lot of stuff's going to go over your head. It's not as readily accessible as like a Marvel movie.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. You know, DC.
And if you're from Chicago, Steppenwolf. You're gonna get really confused.
Exactly.
And,
I keep waiting for
like
Gary
music.
Sinise
yeah.
Exactly.
And John Malkovich to show up. And
yes,
it never happens.
So which is better, DC or Marvel?
Ooh.
Are we talking about comics or movies?
The movies.
Well, the movies. I mean, the box
Marvel
office,
owns
yeah,
the world.
The box office proves it. People enjoy the movies more because they're just more accessible.
Thor is amazing. It's such
a
fun movie.
Right. The last Thor movie. And here's a funny thing, too. If you saw Thor Ragnarok and then you see Justice League afterwards, the two plots are eerily similar to each other. And even the ending is somewhat similar. And there's a bit where if there's a criticism about the Thor movie, then people say that Thor was too jokey. Well, in Justice League, it's kind of the same thing. Because the last couple of DC movies, with the exception of Wonder Woman, they were very dark and grim. And in Justice League, they make a lot of jokes. And some of the jokes kind of fall flat.
Oh, well. Yeah. Thor is that's the thing. Maybe you need some distance between the two. Because I loved Thor. That was the best Thor movie they've made.
Well, for those who enjoyed the Chris Hemsworth shirtless scene, you will get a substantial... Henry Cavill shirtless scene.
Meh.
He looks good.
Meh.
I'll give him that. He's a handsome guy.
Here's the thing about Thor and Hemsworth is that it's not just that. It's that he's pretty charming off what he does.
Yes.
As far as being philanthropic and socially aware and having conversations, that makes him appealing. And then you go, hi. I mean, there you are. Hello.
Wait. Who's that?
Hemsworth. Hemsworth. He plays Thor.
He plays Thor.
Much better than Ben Affleck.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I will say this:
that Ben Affleck was Thor. Just interacting
as far as and activism. I mean, I think Affleck
I never
tries.
Got the Ben Affleck thing anyway.
Yeah.
There is one problem with.
I gotta go. Michael said, if I don't go now, we can't play any more games. More for this on 720 WG.
Live from Chicago, Illinois. Here is another episode of What's That From?
312-981-7200. If you know what that's from, you can call us and let us know what it's from, and we'll give you a gift card from Apt Electronics. Let's take it away, Roger.
Interior treehouse nighttime, a Boy Scout lantern, professionally built structure. The gang's got sleeping bags there, roasting marshmallows over a Cub Scout camping stove. Hams brought personal s'mores supplies.
Want a s'more?
S'more what?
No, you want a s'more.
I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have any more of anything?
You kill me, Smalls. Look, these are s'mores stuff. Pay attention. First, you take the graham. You put the chocolate on the graham, Hershey's, of course. You hold the chocolate on the graham while you roast the mallow.
He does. The mallow flames to life.
Then, when the mallow's flaming, you stuff it on the chocolate and cover it with the other end. Then you scarf.
Ham does. The junk squirts halfway down his shirt.
Kind of messy. Good, though.
Squints turns the lantern down low.
All right. Listen up. First time De Nunes heard this story, he fainted.
Bull, Squints. You did, man.
De Nunes shuts up. It's true.
When Yeah Yeah heard it, he peed his pants.
Shut up, Squints. Did not.
You did, man.
And when Ham heard it, he barfed up two bags of marshmallows.
Liar. It was only one.
Now, so stay away from the door. You might fall out. And you don't sit on your sleeping bag. You could crap your pants. Now, quiet.
Absolute silence. Kid reverence equals fright.
The legend of the beast goes back a long time. Before any of us could pick up a baseball, back to a place called Myrtle's Acres.
Dreamy dissolve to The Story of the Beast. Exterior, Myrtle's Acres, daytime. A legendary place benefiting from years of kid embellishment. A gothic scrapyard fortress, oddly designed to keep something in, not out.
The beast belongs to Mr. Myrtle, the guy who used to own Myrtle's Acres junkyard. Nobody's ever seen him since the day it happened.
Interior, Myrtle's Acres, daytime. Blurbling pockets of superheated muck. Burned out shells of twisted vehicles. Strewn carcasses. A battlefield. Old appliances that form tortured faces in the shadowy recesses.
Myrtle's Acres was a sweet place that had everything you could ever imagine.
Other stuff like savage shopping carts. A school bus graveyard, scrap motorbikes, cargo ship boy balls, the gutted shell of a fighter plane.
And the stuff was worth a fortune. So one day Mr. Myrtle got him this new pup from the pound. They were glad to get rid of him on account of, while he'd been there, he'd killed three dogs bigger than he was. That was exactly what Mr. Myrtle figured he needed to protect his junkyard. Because people kept stealing his stuff at night when he wasn't around.
We drift through a maze of dark, grimy junk passageways.
So, he bought the beast and set him loose in Myrtle's Acres.
Something lopes by at the end of a passage. We never fully see the beast.
The beast was still just a pup of 6 months, but he already weighed 150 pounds, and he kept getting bigger.
A trash bag full of meat hits the ground, disappears. It spits back into frame, empty and tattered.
He threw the beast a trash bag full of meat every night. He just left him alone. All alone in the place, all by himself, to grow.
An eyeball among a pile of broken headlights, as big as the headlights. Fleeting glimpses of more stuff like mannequins with bite chunks missing. Plastic flamingos brutally mangled. A decapitated lawn jockey. A plastic cow, legs gnawed off. And breathing amongst the artificial life forms. A gargantuan footprint in the center of an old truck tire. The beast's shoulders moving powerfully. As tall as a burned out VW.
And so, in a few months, the pup grew into the beast, and he grew big as a car, and he grew mean because nobody liked him, and he didn't like nobody either. And so he only had one thing on his mind, to kill.
Interior, Myrtle's Acres, nighttime. Two thieves in ski masks. Suddenly, a heated wind strips their mast. Two elephantine feet come down on their faces, and they scream!
And he did, and he liked it. The beast ate them. He ate them, bones and all.
And that was our Thanksgiving. What's that?
Dinner time.
Joy.
Wow.
All right, Sean, what's that from a gift card from Apt Electronics? Yes.
Oh, man, one of my all-time favorite movies, Sandlot.
There you go. Yeah. You win. Gift card from Apt Electronics. Sean, hold on the line, and Michael will get your information. And also, if you'd like, we also have a pair of tickets for you at Zany's. I'm going to be at Zany's on Monday the 20th, the Tuesday the 21st, and Sunday the 26th, all in November, obviously. So you can all go to zanies.com. But Sean and any of our listeners who are on hold, I have a pair of tickets for you to come to Zany's next week. I've never seen The Sandlot, so I feel badly about that. But that was really well done, everybody.
My kid loves it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Eli watches it in heavy rotation.
All right, I'll have to check
that
out.
How was my squints compared to the kid?
Your squints was great. In the movie, of course, it's a live dog, so he's not actually the size of a car.